like to first of all thank the sponsors of this morning's shiur. Dr. Huberfeld, Laurie, and Shalom are sponsoring the Zechus Chaim of Moshe Aaron ben Rivka. Mr. Sherman should be with great Hatzlacha. Also, Mr. Wexelbaum, Mr. Bert Wexelbaum is sponsoring the Ili Nishmas Yehuda ben Meir for his father's yard site this coming Tuesday. And Dr. Murray Cohen is sponsoring the Ili Nishmas Yishayahu Tzvi ben Shlomo, his grandfather. And the Ili Nishmas Chana Bas Yosel, his great grandmother's yard site is by Bayan. I know it should be the Ili Nishmas Ahem. Thank you for sharing with us. So the other day I was on the train and I got off at the wrong station. I was so busy doing work. You know, it's all happened to all of us. I'm busy doing work. I get off at the station that, you know, to me, you know, Lynbrook and what was that, Valley Stream, all sound the same to me. And there I am standing at the station, and I can't see where the parking lot for my car is. So just like, you know, after a few minutes I realized that it wasn't actually there anymore. And so I finally submitted and took a taxi. And in the taxi, I told the guy, a very nice guy, we got chatting, comes from Hicksville around here, and he tells me, I told him about the situation. He says, you know, my father always used to say, the reason why there's an eraser at the end of the pencil is because people make mistakes. I thought that was a very nice way of looking at things. You know, so sometimes we need to think about the mistakes. Sometimes we need to think about when we are late, when it doesn't always work out, and what do we do when it doesn't always work out? So this is a little bit of what we're going to be doing today is tefillah when we're late. Tefillah when we're not exactly on time, when we need that eraser. But we're not going to just talk about the worst case scenarios as we will progressively deal with. Let's try to understand itself on its own terms. What is the importance of every step we're taking? You know, there was a while back there was a skit by John Cleese, and he and his fellow are pilots in an airplane, and he goes into the loudspeaker and he says, "Ladies and gentlemen, there is nothing to be concerned about." And then 2 minutes later, the co-pilot gets on and says, "The engine is not on fire." You know, and then they start asking the stewardess, you know, what's going on, you know, what everybody's doing, and everybody's looking wildly out the left window and the right window, and what's going on. Sometimes before we worried about the catastrophes and sensationalism, let's try to appreciate what's really going on. Let's try to appreciate each stage of what we're doing before we actually get to the crises. Okay, so there's going to be two sections of our thought process today as we move through this. Is what are the stages of davening, and then how do we deal with it once crisis hits, once we're in a state where we have to make decisions? Okay, so that's our goal for the next little bit. So we're going to look at tefillah in the following. Let's take a look at an average shachris. In shachris, there are four major stages of davening. The first section is called brachos, which is attached to karbanos. Then there's pesukei dezimra, kriyas shema, and finally the amida. These are the four sections of a regular shachris. It happens to be, of course, after this, there is, of course, pesukei dezimra. After this, tachanun. And there is the asher nevolat tzion and aleinu and shir shel yom. Not to discredit that at all. We dealt with why Tachanun's there. We're not going to deal with the Kiddush and the Sidra, the three times we do Kiddush on a daily basis in the Shachris. We're not going to deal with those very important sections. But on the whole, this is what Shachris looks like. If you were to look at it broadly, Brachos, Pesukei Dezimra, Kriyas Shema, and Amida. What we need to do is we need to appreciate what each section is actually doing, and then come back and say, well, what happens when we have to sometimes sacrifice one section for another? Okay, that's where our goals are. It happens to be that once we get shachris, we can basically get the rest of the day. So let's say take a mincha, only as an amida. Right, mincha is a bit of a tough one right now, right, and especially this last week when the clocks have changed. When we move to Maariv, we only have kriya shema and amida. Right, so once we get the format of shachris, it might be easier to understand the triage when it comes to mincha and Maariv. And when we get to, we'll see that Maariv actually differs, even though it is a what we would call half of the shachris experience. It's going to differ somehow in some of the mechanics to the way that the shachris is set up. Okay, so we're going to start that way. So let's start at the very beginning. Brachos. Okay, so what are brachos? So this is actually a hodgepodge. There's a lot of different things going on in a regular set of brachos as we begin the davening. The first and primary part, we call this brachos because it includes a lot of brachos. What are these brachos? So the Gemara describes, and the Gemara in Brachos, Daf Samachim Beis, tells us the following. tells that when you get up in the morning, there's a whole bunch of things that you say as you do. Meaning, so for instance, as you wake up and you open your eyes, people used to say, Pakeh Ivrim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, experientially, as they went through that process, then Hashem opens my eyes. Then they would get dressed and they'd go, Malbish Arumim. They would sit up, they would say, Matir Asurim, as the limbs are freed, as they're sort of, they have the ability to be able to move again. They put their feet on the ground, they say, Rakah Haaretz Alamayim, Hashem spreads the ground over the water. Meaning to say, there's a firmament that I can put a place my legs on. You put on your belt, or Zer Yisrael B'Gvura, you put the head covering over, or Ter Yisrael B'Sifara, which for men today is done when they adjust the tefillin Shel Rosh. And each of these stages would be done as they were experiencing. In fact, the first thing they would do before even Pakeach Evrim, before even opening eyes, is Elokai Neshama Shonasata B'Tohorehi, HaGosh Baruch Hu, you gave me a neshama and you returned that neshama to me. So this was, if you think about it, you know, you couldn't get a more mindful experience. Think about think about sometimes what our wake-ups look like on the third snooze, right? And who created the snooze? Terrible, terrible thing, right? I mean, since the snooze alarm, I think how stressful our life has become. Once we're getting up, and there we are, God knows hour in the morning, and it's very dark and it's very cold these days, and you're trying to get up. Think about it, what would it look like if we were to sort of think about each stage and think, wow, you know, my eyes work. Wow, my limbs work. Wow, I have clothes to wear. You know, if we think about the brachos were supposed to be an accompaniment, so we get this sense of appreciation of the process of waking up. So what changed? That's the way the Gemara describes it. That means to say, reverse 1,500 years. The times of the Talmud, this is what they were doing. They would do it as they would experience the morning. So the Shulchan Aruch tells us, based on the earlier Rishonim, that the reason why we don't do that today is for the very simple reason. Is because, number one is that our hands are unclean. So we shouldn't be saying our brachos in a state of unclean hands. Why is that different to the Gemara? Good question. And number two is because of amei aratzos. What does that mean? That means to say that not all of us are proficient in the nusach habracha. So the best case scenario is we all come to shul. The chazan says the brachas and everybody answers amen. So those who don't know them are going to be part of the train, right? They're going to be on the same boat. That's the way we do it today. Which is why, by the way, sometimes when you go to a shul and they start from Rabbi Shmuel Omer before the psukah de Zimra. And we all say, oh, that rotten place, they didn't even tell us that there was like another 5 minutes that we should have been, right? That's really going back to the time of the Gemara. Really, the fact that we don't say the brachos in shul was really the way it was. And in some places, they actually do that still. That's not all the brachos, because that only accounts for really the experiential brachos. There are more than that. So what else do we have? So there's another three, which the Gemara talks about in another place, which are for Shiloh Asani. Which are more about, in a certain sense, identity brachos. They're not about an experience. I'm not waking up and feeling this. This is really who I am, who I'm not, really. And so those brachos as well are sort of pushed into this whole process over here as well as part of the Birkas HaShachar, and they're put separately. Right, they're either the very beginning or the very end of the Birkas HaShachar, depending on the Nusach that we're dealing with. Why? Because they're more about identity than experience. And we put them all into the same place when we do the brachos themselves. Hamavir Shena used to be done when the person used to put water on their face. And this is what we say now at the end of that train of brachos. There is, of course, the karbonos are attached to that. At the end, the karbonos says we no longer have access to bring the karbonos. So we say the karbonos as in the same way that they would be brought in the Torah to regulate ourselves and also, as we know, that by saying things, that's the way we have access to what they really are. Okay, so this is a little bit of what we're doing. There's more than that, because we also say Asher Yatzar, Al Etzilas Yodayim, Tzitzes, for men who are wearing tzitzes. We also say Birkas HaTorah. Birkas HaTorah is not like the regular brachos. That's an introduction that allows us access to learn Torah. Very important that we do that before davening. This is all part of Birkas HaShachar, a wide range of brachos, and they're going to have different rules as we see it. When is the earliest time you can say brachos? When would you be able to do it? Especially comes now. Comes to the winter and we have a sliding scale of times. How early can you say brachos? What is that? So I thought it was Mishiyakir. You know, if somebody asked me, that's what I would have thought. Maybe around the time that it becomes, you know, you can recognize somebody sometime after Alois HaShachar. That is not true. In fact, you can say Birkas HaShachar anytime from midnight onwards, which means to say if you sleep and you wake up in the middle of the night, and you decide that's the end of your sleep for whatever reason, you can say all the Birkas HaShachar, barring about the fact that the crow knows the difference between day and night, because It's still 3 o'clock. And number two is also Amavishena, if you decide you're going to take a nap again during the rest of the night. But everything else can be said, which is very helpful, because a lot of times when we have the 5:50 minyan as an example in our shul, and we're coming out and the stars are still out at this point in time, there's no problem saying the brachas at all, right? So that's certainly okay. There was two questions. Toshana, yes.
Isn't there an issue with Nitzilos Yadayim around sometime?
Okay, so Nitzilos Yadayim is a good question. Nitzilos Yadayim is a good question. What about Nitzilos Yadayim? Nitzilos Yadayim in general, I think if a person has slept, even if they wake up after Chatzos, should be fine. That's the way it seems to be from Shulchan Aruch. Yes.
Okay, now, his question is both mine. Sleep how long? If I slept 15 minutes, if I slept 2 hours, if I slept 6 hours.
Or Shenas Keva. So I mean, past half an hour in bed. Okay? That's generally accepted. Birkas HaTorah. You could and should say after sleeping at night, anytime from Chatzos onwards. So let's say, my plan for the night of Shavuos is that I'm going to be clear, I've got this whole plan. So I'm going to go to sleep straight after the meal. And then I'm going to come for the 1 o'clock slot, right? And I'm going to go through all the way. I look like a champion in the end, right? And I'm going to actually make it through the 4 o'clock slot without touching the shtender in front of me, right, with my forehead. So what happens in that case? So you would actually say new Birkas HaTorah then, because you slept during the nighttime, and it was a Shenas Keva, so it was a longer sleep, so I would actually say the Birkas HaTorah then, even though it's the middle of the night, but that Birkas HaTorah will carry me through because of this waking up in the middle of the night. And yes, you have to say that then. The Birkas HaShachar, you don't have to say at 3 o'clock in the morning. You can wait. But the Birkas HaTorah, you certainly have to, because you can't access Torah without that. So that's just a kind of overview of that. Hang on for the questions for a second, because there's a lot we want to cover. Moving on to the next step, which is Psukah DeZimra. Okay, so without going through the visuals over here, what is Psukah DeZimra? Psukah DeZimra is a very, very simple thing. And that is it's not exactly Tehillim, because there's much more than Tehillim in Psukah DeZimra. Psukah DeZimra is essentially framed by two brachos. It is a bracha at the beginning and a bracha at the end, and their names are Baruch Shamar and Yishtabach. And if you notice, you look at the chasima, the conclusion of those brachos are very similar to each other, which means to say that they are essentially the bookends of this experience called Pesukei DeZimra. Pesukei literally means verses of DeZimra, of praise or song. Right? The tour goes through this in Siman Nun Aleph, and he talks about the importance of this. That in order for us to get to the next steps of Tefillah, which involve a lot of bakosh, a lot of requests from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we need to prepare ourselves. We need to be sitting down and thinking about how incredible HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, how involved He is in our lives. Which is why, if you move through the center part of Pesukei DeZimra, is really Ashrei, with the following five Halalukas, which are really essentially Tehillim 145 to 150. It's the last six paragraphs of the book of Tehillim. They're all about Hashkocha Pratis, essentially. They're about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's involvement in this world in differing realms. Okay, so if we think about that. So one thing we do is, the Tehillim aspect of it is let's try to regulate ourselves to the fact and put in our minds how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu is involved in our lives. But then there's a historical part. We quote Devarei HaYamim, we quote Nehemiah, we quote Oz Yashir. There's lots of different things going on over there, whether it be historical, whether it be through identity, whether it be through thanksgiving, Mizmor LaToyla. There are lots of different things that we're training ourselves to. These are essentially the foundation for Tefillah. These are the getting ready for what the davening is supposed to be, which is later on, which is the Amidah. Because this is the necessary movement. By the way, the reason why that we're not supposed to talk in the middle of Psukah DeZimra is because the bracha at the beginning and the end essentially make it to that everything in the middle is part of that same cohesive process, which is why we're not allowed to interrupt the Psukah DeZimra. And we are allowed to interrupt for certain things like Amen, Baruch Hu, Yehi Shmei Rabbah, Kriya Shema. Sometimes we're in the middle of Psukah DeZimra and the Kriya Shema comes, you're supposed to say Shema Yisrael, Shema Nekadah, Shema Echad. There's certain things we can interrupt for, but anything below that, like even a Baruch Hu, Baruch Shema, when we hear Hashem's name, we should not, and certainly not just catching up on the sports. Right, so that's those are all because of this is framed by two brachos, everything in the middle. We're going to discuss what happens if we have to shorten it in just a moment. Then we move on to what we do Kriya Shema. Kriya Shema appears twice a day, in the morning and in the evening. Why it is that we do Kriya Shema in the morning and the evening? Because it tells us to, right? its instructions are included. Right, so that means to say, it says, these things should be on your heart when, fast forward to the next pasuk, when you go to sleep and when you wake up. So there we go. Right, the Shema tells us when to say it. Happens to be that we say it three paragraphs. The second paragraph comes from a later section in Akev. In Dvarim, the first paragraph comes from Vayeschanan, the next one comes from Ha'akev, and it also has the same instruction manual, but We say the third paragraph, which relates to Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. Those three ingredients, by the way, of the notion of what Chazal describe as, number one, Kabbalas Omach Shemaim, wanting this relationship, Hashem, we want you, that we want to love you, we want to have this relationship with you. Number two is, the second paragraph is, Nitty Gritty, who's taking out the garbage, commitment to the details, right? What are you going to do about that? It's all very nice saying, yeah, I love this relationship. What are you going to do? Who's going to wash the dishes, right? That's the next step. And finally, Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim is the last paragraph, which takes us back to when the relationship started. Why are we in this relationship in the first place? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu thought we were worthy, even when we'd just been pulled out of Mitzrayim. So those are so important that we have to do this twice a day, at the very least, right? And the third time around on Kriya Shema Lamita, very important Kriya for Kriya Shema. What is the time frame of this? Just to get a sense of this. This is very important to make it to really appreciate. Kriya Shema starts from. There you go. Fantastic. So Kriya Shema starts from a period called Misha Yaker. What is Misha Yaker? It literally means when you recognize. The way it works is the following. The stages of the day work like this. The day starts in halachic terminology at a stage called Alois, which means that it is literally the rise of dawn, what we'll translate in today's, you know, sort of fractured English translation. That means to say you're camping, you're outside, you look at the horizon, and you see that there's a bar of light on the horizon. That's called Alois HaShachar. There's no sun. The sun is still below the horizon. It's at an angle, which is why we're seeing the light. Okay, that's called Alois HaShachar. Plus minus 72 minutes later, depending on our latitude and longitude, is when we'll have what's called nates, where you start seeing the top of the sun. That's called sunrise, and there's a gap between the two of them. In the middle of that is a stage called Mishyakir, where there's enough light that we could make a recognition, where that means to say a recognition of one human being from another human being, green from blue. There's a lot of descriptions of what that recognition is. Generally speaking, mainstream halacha is that it's punked in the middle, it's about 36 minutes. We are mekil in many cases, and certainly in the shul, just to appreciate this, to go earlier. The Mishyakir would drive earlier, which means to say that's why we can say Kriya Shema, that's why we can put on Talis and Tefillin earlier. That I'm closer to the Alois time, just to appreciate this. Okay, that's when Shema starts. When does Kriya Shema end? 3 hours. And these are called relative hours. So we take the daylight hours, divide them into 12, and take three of those. Which means that yesterday it was at 9:07. Because the day is starting earlier now because of the shift of the clock, that means to say that it's much earlier, which makes it much more difficult for the last two minyanim we have on the Shabbos. Just to appreciate that's why it's much more hectic now, because it and by the way, saying it afterwards doesn't crown this Kriya Shema. You're reading paragraphs in the Torah, that's fine and wonderful, but that's not Kriya Shema. You've missed the mitzvah if you're doing this. It's not like you get a take-home prize for trying good. You know, like, you know that's the, it is, you missed it, that's it, that day was gone. Right, so that is Kriya Shema. It's going to be important because it's going to be different to the Amidah. Let's move into the Amidah. The Amidah we say three times a day, Shachris, Mincha, and Ma'ariv. Now, what is the Amidah? The Amidah is essentially Tefillah. When we talk about davening, when we talk about the word tefillah refers to Amidah. Brachos, Psukkah Zimra, and Kriya Shema all build ups towards the Amidah. It's really, the Amidah is it. Why do we do tefillah? The answer is, well, there's two reasons why we do tefillah, the Gemara tells us in Brachos after Yom Gimel. Number one is because? Right, so there's a machlokes. The question is, one reason is keneged tamidim tiknum, which means to say that in the absence of korbanos, and by the way, it's interesting because it was Mesukah, and at the time there still were korbanos, but it was nonetheless, it parallels the korbanos we bring. There's a korban tamid shel shachar, where you bring a regular korban sibor in the morning, a communal offering in the morning, a communal offering in the afternoon, and then we burn the fats at night, which reflect the three amidos that we actually have, and the time frames are immediately reflective of that. So the same time we could bring the korbanos, at the same time we can daven these three amidos. But there's another aspect to it, and that is keneged avos, right? That because Avraham Avinu, and this is why it's related to these parashios, Avraham Avinu was the one, Vayashkem Avraham Baboiker, Avraham Avinu had this encounter with God in the morning. That was his time. Yesterday in Chaya Sora, Vayesa Yitzchak Lasuach Basode, Yitzchak was going Nifnois Erev, that he's going out of the time towards evening. That's when Mincha was instituted. We're going to see in 2 weeks' time, Vayifka Bamakom, Yaakov Avinu is at night time, he stays in that place, that's where he encounters HaKadosh Baruch Hu at night. Each a very different encounter of God, and we take all three of them into the structure of our day. Notice, by the way, that those two different makoros couldn't be more different from each other, those two sources. The one source of Karbonos is very prescribed, very regulated. Think about that, right? There's time matters, place matters, thought matters. You're thinking the wrong thought. While you're bringing a korban, the korban is invalidated. everything is very much strict and rules and prescribed. When you come to Avos, the Avos is much more organic. Do you know what Avram said? No, we don't know what Avram said. Avram even poured out his heart. Right? Well, do we know what Yaakov said? No, we don't know what Yaakov said. This Yaakov's encounter, in fact, was using a different word than Avram. It wasn't Vayashka and Vayivka. He was having an encounter with God. And both the organic and the rules, or in a certain sense, the regulations, fuse into the tefillah we have, which is sort of fixed words and infinite depth in the Amidah that we have, the 18/19 brachas that we have of the Amidah. Time frame of the Amidah, just quickly. When does the Amidah start? When does the Amidah end in terms of time frames? So starting is different to Kriya Shema. This is why it always becomes exciting. It starts actually from Neis, from sunrise, which is later than Kriya Shema, which is why it's always easier to start Shachris than to actually start the Amidah. Right? When we talk about davening Vasikin, what that means to say is saying the Kriya Shema earlier, because you can say Kriya Shema, but waiting till the point that you can start the Amidah, which is later, which is at the time of Netzachama, at the moment that sunrise is actually happening. And that's why it takes a little bit of coordination. When does the Amidah actually end? When can you say it until? So this is the Chachira we paskin 4 hours into the day. So it's usually a relative hour later than Kriya Shema, which gives us a little bit more space. But Yevet up to 6 hours, because there's a machlokes in the Karbonis themselves that reflects that, so it's pulled over for davening. So this is the Amidah. However, we're not done, because we don't just do the Amidah. This is now where we enter into a new realm, and that's called Tefillah B'Tzibur. We know that we do the Amidah together, B'Tzibur, in a community. Why is it necessary? Meaning, why can't I just say it by myself? So the Rambam says pretty clearly and unequivocally, just to quote the Rambam over here, I didn't put out notes today, but the Rambam says, just to listen to this language, Tefillas HaTzibur nishmas tamid, v'afilu hoyu bohem choytem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu moyes b'tfilos en shel rabim, ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu moyes b'tfilos en shel rabim. We have greater access, even if we're among people who are not necessarily on God's A-list. Nonetheless, our tefillah has more reach when we are together. Just to give that, just to make that a little more tangible. The Gemara says the following. The Gemara says, what happens if, we discussed this a little bit earlier in the year. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says, what happens if, you know, we're different to the way we started the year? So for instance, if we as a community started the year on a great level, and later on, you know, the time February comes, not exactly as we promised. You know, we're not living up to what we're supposed to. So does Hashem change the Gzerah? So the Gemara is a description of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't adjust the amount of rain, but he amounts how it is distributed, or vice versa. Means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does adjust, there's a monthly budget to check in to see if we're really earning our keep, and so on. Can we change that? Meaning, say, is there a way to actually change the Gzerah? So the Gemara says, in Rosh Hashanah, yeah, well, you can change that, but only as a Tzibur. There's a stir in Psukim. Do we say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, in Devarim we say, B'chol Karenu Alav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is whenever we call out to him, or is it B'yosai Karav, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is close? So the Gemara says, well, it depends if we're a Yachid or if we're a Tzibur. We can't tear up the Gzerah if we're a Yachid. We can only adjust it. But if we're at Tzibur, we can actually tear it up. We can change it. Which means to say that if there's anything really serious that we need to be thinking about, we need to be together with everybody else. And that's the reach that we have for Tefillah B'Tzibur. Just to get an appreciation of how far this goes. How far should we travel to daven Tefillah B'Tzibur? So the Shulchan Aruch actually tells us, in Siman Tzadi, if it is in the way that you are traveling, meaning to say, let's say you're on the roads and you're traveling along the 95 and you have to travel along the 95 for the next 87 miles, right? So it's 4 miles ahead of you. Meaning to say, if the option is stopping now and davening by oneself or traveling 4 miles in the direction one is going, one should carry on for up to 4 miles to find a minyan. However, if one is out of one's way, which means out of one's way means detour off the road, or one's already stopped and one needs to now leave one's house or one's lodgings, then it's only a 1 mile radius. There's a dispute, interestingly enough, by the way, here in the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah talks about this. So what about today, where we have what he calls Gamla Parcha, flying camels, which literally means our mode of transportation has changed dramatically, so we are able to get places faster. So is it mileage or is it time? That's an interesting question, right? We all hope for mileage, right? So the Mishnah Berurah actually says, no, it's actually time, which means to say that the amount of time it would take to walk 4 miles is the amount of time that it's necessary. Now that, by the way, that puts us into a big responsibility. There are those who disagree with the Mishnah Berurah. So the Shoal Meshev, Rav Nathanson, it disagrees and says it's a function of time. Nonetheless, this shows us there is a. This is how far a person has to go for tefillah, but tzibur itself, when one is able to be part of the tzibur, because one's tefillah is only so effective alone, whereas compared to when one is with a tzibur. That's how far one has to do go to invest in this. One last point over here is that doesn't explain one other thing, and that is the Chazaras Hashatz. We actually repeat the Shmon Esrei. That is not tefillah but tzibur. Just to appreciate that. Tefillah but tzibur is when we're all standing together, and there is a million of men, and we're all davening together. That means to say that we're now sort of, you know, slotted into this new wedge, and we get much further because of this. What about Chazaras Hashatz? Chazaras Hashatz is a different thing altogether. Most of us are familiar with the Gemara at the end of Rosh Hashanah, and that Gemara allows us to dismiss Chazaras Hashatz. Right? The Gemara says, it's for Am Shemasadas. Oh, so those people who don't understand. So we're like, aha, well, we understand, right? So that's why we can discuss the latest news and the latest sports, right? Right, because we don't need this, right? So just to appreciate this, just to be very candid over here, Rav Soloveitchik and Rav Moshe Sternbach and all the commentaries on that Gemara go through a very long explanation that there's two aspects of tefillah. There's what's called tefillah betzibur, tefillah in a tzibur, and there's tefillah hatzibur, the tefillah of the community. Meaning to say, here we're talking about individual needs. When we're all together, we're still talking about individual needs, but we're doing it together so we all have further reach. Chazaras Hashatz isn't about our individual needs. We may be saying the same bracha. It may be Refa'enu. But as opposed to thinking about Refa'enu, the person that we're thinking about, the individual, we as a community, we need certain refuah for the community. We as a community need a certain sustenance. We as a community need kibbutz galios, right? There are certain things that we need to think about more nationally, more globally. That's what's happening in the Chazaras Hashatz. It looks bad, folks, if you're only coming in for the presentation about yourself. It really doesn't. It doesn't. So, you know, you come into the president and you say, you know, I'd really like it if you could, you know, you could help pay my mortgage. But, you know, taxes for the rest of New York State, I'll leave that to the rest of the legislators. Like, what does that show? I mean, like, what kind of self-centered people are we? That's what the Rav Soloveitchik says. There's two different parts over here. There's Amir and the Chazaras Hashatz. Very different angles of what's really happening over here. So this is our background. Now the question is meet Fred. Okay, Fred is a wonderful, mild-mannered, neutral kind of guy. Fred is very good. He has lots of friends. Fred is a leader in business. He has a partner in a law firm. He does exercise regularly. Is a good husband, and in fact, is a great father. Fred is a wonderful guy in general. The only problem is that Fred has one issue, and that is that Fred is consistently late. Right? Fred has issues with time. So what we're going to do is we're going to follow Fred through a number of scenarios over here, appreciating where we just came from, and now trying to understand, what does Fred do? Okay, so Fred, what happens over here? So one morning, after the clocks have changed, the other direction naturally because there's less sleep, so Fred arrives at Shul, and he has now arrived at Shul between Brachos and Pesukah Zimra. Ooh, so now we have to make a decision. So Fred has a problem over here, because you see, at this point in time, if you were to do brachas, then that would mean to say that Pesukah Zimra will be later, so everything will shift down, and that means Kriya Shema will be later, and that means Amida will be shifted later, and we just learned that there's something very important about Tefillah, but Zebo, davening with the community, so what does he do? So that's the question that's at hand. So, in this particular case, the general approach, la halacha, is the following. And again, if anybody wants the sources afterwards, I'd be very happy to share. Just rather than going through the paragraphs and paragraphs and paragraphs inside, I thought we'd do it outside. So here we go. What do we do? In this particular case, the Shulchan Aruch says, or the Ramah says in Simon Nun Beis, is that we would do all the brachos after davening, because the brachos aren't specifically time-bound. So we'll do all the brachos after davening with a few exceptions. Okay, so number one is, a person needs to do Netzilat Yadayim before davening. So Fred, first thing you do is run outside to the sink and wash hands and do Netzilat Yadayim. That has to happen. Okay, number one. Number two is, a person needs to say, Elokai Neshama Shenasati B'Tahorihi. A person needs to recognize the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Fred his Neshama back that day. You know why he has to do that before davening? It's because after davening, he won't be able to say it again. Why would Fred have lost out on Elokai Neshama? Let's think about that for a second. What in davening would have invalidated his efforts to say Elokai Neshama afterwards? What's he recognizing? By saying, Hashem, you return my Neshama to me, what are you essentially recognizing on a microcosm? Mechayim Esim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is returning. Now, we happen to say that when? In the Shemona Esrei. So if he doesn't say Elokai Neshama Shenasata B'Tahorihi at the beginning of the davening, what's going to happen? By the time he gets to the end of the davening, he already sort of, you know, check that one off without really recognizing he checked that off. So the Mishnah Berurah says, if a friend is really, really late, then you know what, he can say, he can leave Elokai Neshama till later, but when he's in the bracha of, the second bracha of Shmoneh Esrei, of Mechai Mesim, he should really say to himself, I'm focusing on the Shmoneh Esrei here, but I'm still going to say Elokai Neshama, so I can say it afterwards. Okay, so really, regularly, the brachos are able to be said. In fact, the post can say all day long, the person can say the brachos, even till the night time. When it gets the night time, you can't say Amav Yosheno anymore, you can't say Hashem has taken away my sleep, because at that point in time, hopefully, we've made it through the day, when it's going back to sleep. But the brachos have less of a time frame than the rest of the tefillah. More of it is the necessity of an Tzitzit Adayim, and Elokai Neshama. One other thing which is complicated is the Birkas HaTorah. Birkas HaTorah needs to always be said at the beginning of the day. It should be 1, 2, 3. It should be the beginning of the day, even before one comes to shul necessarily, because one's going to talk about Torah. What happens if one bumps into somebody and one wants to talk about Torah? One should always say that at the beginning, just rule of thumb. Problem is, if Fred is late now, what's going to happen? So if he doesn't have time to say Birkas HaTorah, we're going to run into an issue, because there is another bracha that he's going to say during the davening, which is going to, in fact, invalidate his Birkas HaTorah, and that is, later on in the Birkas Kriya Shema, the second of the Birkas Kriya Shema is called Ava Rabba, and in that bracha he's going to say, Avinu Ava Racham, Adam Racham Racham, Alenu Sem Bilibenu La Avinu La Haskil Lishma Lil Modu La Men Lishma Varasa Zil Kaim Es Kol Dibes Al Tamu Torah Secha Be'avo. Hashem, allow me to know all this Torah, which sounds dramatically similar to Birkas HaTorah, which is why that if a person has done that could actually, if one thinks about it, that could count as Birkas HaTorah. We want to say the bracha. We don't want to lose the bracha, right? So therefore, one should say Birkas HaTorah beforehand. If one is just before this bracha and the Kriya Shema, and one has time afterwards, one should say, I don't want to be Yotzei Birkas HaTorah now, so one can still say the Birkas HaTorah afterwards. This is in order to be able to do that. So as we can see, the brachas themselves are a very wide range of different ideas. So it's hard to say there's one rule that fits all. Nonetheless, this is what he's going to have to do in order to be able to make it. Let's just move on just for the moment. What happens in the following situation? Fred is now a little bit later than that, right? It wasn't a good day, right? Whatever, the snooze went on 4 times this morning. Okay, so he's in the middle of Pesukah Dezimra now. He walks in, and in some shuls, this is 2 minutes later, right? And so here we are, Fred is in the middle of Pesukah Dezimra. What does he do? So let's just kind of get the sense of what the triage is. So yeah, the problem is that Fred has, if he starts at the beginning, we know he's going to leave our brachas definitely now. But in the Pesukah Dezimra, if he says the full thing, you know, then what's going to happen is everything's going to shift later, and he's going to start the Shmoneh Esrei late. He's not with the Tzibur. So what does he do? So in this circumstance, there is a certain triage of what he's supposed to do. In order for it to be considered Pesukah Dezimra, he needs 3 things. He needs, the rule is essentially, he needs the bun of the hamburger, and he needs the meat. What's the bun? What's the bookends? You need that, otherwise it's not that bad. If that's all you say, then essentially you're saying, Hashem, listen to the tefillah, the zimra I'm about to say, and I got Rochel, did you hear the zimra I'm just about to say? You didn't say anything. So that's the problem. You shouldn't do just the brachas. That's not good. Right? You have to have something in the middle. What is the most essential thing one needs to have in the middle? Ashrei. So if a person is strapped for time, if Fred is really at a point where he has, you know, anyone can judge for himself, or herself, if a person is at this point in time where one has literally 1 minute before they start the Birkas Kriya Shema, that is what one's doing. Baruch She'omar, Ashrei, and Yishtabach, which by the way helps us understand something. I mean, to say that gives us, this triage tells us something about what Pesukah Dezimra is all about. Because what's the centerpiece of Ashrei? Where does our Siddur tell us to focus extra in Ashrei? So if you want to sort of, you know, distill all of Pesukah Dezimra down to one thing, it is, that Hashem cares about everything. Everything doesn't mean just you and me. Doesn't it just mean Jews? Doesn't it just mean human beings? It means everything. It means microbacteria. It means to say the ecosystem remaining in balance. That's what we mean by, that means to say, Hashem Baruch Hu cares about everything. Okay, that's really what it comes down to. We can't ask Hashem for things if we don't believe that He actually cares. That's the basis of it, which is why Ashrei is sort of the centerpiece of it. If a person has more time, now this is important, and this is worthwhile actually writing down in Sidurim. Some of the old Sidurim actually used to have paragraphs of different sizes in order to facilitate this. Most of the new ones today don't do that. It's old ones, and I didn't realize this beforehand. So here's how it goes. Ready? So let's say we have a little more time. So Fred, so depending on how much time Fred has, he's going to start Baruch Shaman on Ashrei. Now the question is now he's going to have to make a judgment call on the moment. Is there enough time for Yishtabach only, or can he put a little bit more in? So now, let's say he has a little more time. So what's Fred going to do? So he has the order. If it's Shabbos, right? I mean, say you're a lot later. Right? So if it's Shabbos, Nishmas has to be there. Nishmas is equally as important on Shabbos. It's Asher and Nishmas together on Shabbos as in the weekday. So you have to have Nishmas in that package and then Yishtarach. However, it doesn't count as the Pesukah Dezimra without that on Shabbos. However, during the weekday, what happens if you have a little more time, or on Shabbos you have a little more time? The next thing you do is the following. There are five halalukas which immediately follow the Ashrei. They are in the same order of Tehillim. So if you open up a book of Tehillim and you move towards the last six chapters, they are 146, 147, 148, 149, and 150. That's where they are. So what do? I'm going to label them right now just for the sake of brevity. Label 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There are five of them. What do you do? So the answer is that you're supposed to start off with, if you have just a little more time, number 5. If you have just a little more time, 3 and 5. If you have just a little more time, then you do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 after the Ashrei. Okay? So just to appreciate that. Now, it may be that Fred has done Ashrei number 5 and he sees he has half a minute more. So go back to 3 and he sees he has half a minute more. Go back to 1. Right? So it doesn't mean to say that there's, you know, it's one way or the highway. But the point is that's the triage of it. What happens after that? So after that, once you do Vayavarech David, that's immediately following Alalukos. If we have a little more time, Hoidu and the Hurachum, which is the beginning of the Pesukah Dezimra. Okay, so this is the basic triage if one doesn't have that space. What was that? It's too much to think about, right? There we go. It is worth in one's siddur to write this. What happens if one's late on Shabbos? And one has finished all the regular Pesukah Dezimra. So on Shabbos, either extra Pesukah Dezimra of all the extra mizmorim I'm going to say. So the rule is that the Mishnah Berurah says, Tadir v'she'enot tadir, tadir kodem. That usually the regular stuff comes first, which means I need to do, let's say I'm late on a Shabbos, I need to do the regular Pesukah Dezimra first in totality, and if I have time, I'll go back to the Shabbos ones. If I have time for the Shabbos ones, the triage is number 1, 2, and 3, which are Lamnatzeach, LeDavid, B'Shanosoi, and Tefillah LeMoshe, which are the first three of those, which are the most important of those three, if one's finished the rest of it. It's a hard judgment call, because one needs to be on par for Nishmas. Right? So it's a hard call. What's the aim of the game over here, folks? The aim of the game is to be finished Pesukah Dezimra on par with the community so one can start Kriya Shema with the Tzibur oneself. Baruch, yeah.
If Baruch Shemar is a matir for everything in the middle, like mm-hmm. last right, how come we put a film on it? We say it's a death mescal and have its own afterwards. I mean, there's a pasuk that people say everything there, you know.
So, again, yeah, no, one second. So, when you put on tefillin, some people say the pasuk posech zedecha. When you're in the middle of the Pesukah Dezimra, saying that is a recognition again of the fact that one's wearing the tefillin again, and that relates to that. So it's not an interruption. There's certain things one can interrupt for Shema Yisrael and so on.
You're saying that to say the Shira, you have
yes. To Shama. Oh, yeah. No. We can say Tehillim at any time in the day. We can say Tehillim at night, it's a little more complicated. We are allowed to, and we should be praising and thinking of Hashem at all the time of the day. This is a framework which allows us to prepare ourselves. It's sort of like, you know, it's the preamble, it's the pre-gym, before we get into the main performance, which is the Amidah. So for that, that's what we need the brachas for. Hold the thoughts for just a second. I'm going to jump straight forward, because Fred is not done yet. Fred's having a tough day. Okay? So just out of interest, while we're in the same parasha over here, what about if Fred's lateness is not about making a tefillah b'tzibur. So, for instance, what happens if he wants to? He's not in a minyan now, so it's not tefillah b'tzibur that's at stake, but other things. So, like example is, he wants to skip Pesukah Dezimra because he wants to hit Nates. He wants to hit the Nates Achama right here, and he has no place to. He can't go to a minyan right now. So, can he skip Pesukah Dezimra for that to make it exactly on time? The answer is no. You can do it after Nates as well. It's not as great as starting immediately at sunrise, which is why there's a beautiful idea of starting at Vasikin. One shouldn't. What happens if one is going to lose something? So, for instance, one's going to be late to a meeting at work and one's davening at home because one doesn't have access to a minyan, just as an example. So, in this case, Rav Moshe says one can skip Pesukah Dezimra to make the Amida if the triage is going to be Pesukah Dezimra or Amida. So we're not talking about tefillah b'tzibur, we're talking about one or the other. In that case, one is able to, one should bridge the Pesukah Dezimra for Amira. What about if one has a seder of learning? So let's say one is chavrusa immediately after shachris, but one is late. So in that case, one is not allowed to skip to bridge the Pesukah Dezimra in order to make that chavrusa. One needs to say the full Pesukah Dezimra for the Amira. So it's not every case necessitates an abridging Lashon Hara. The case we're dealing with right over here, which is the most likely case, is tefillah b'tzibur versus full Pesukah Dezimra. Pesukah Dezimra falls in the triage to the full Pesukah Dezimra to tefillah b'tzibur. That's the way we generally look at it. What happens if Fred's a little later? So we're going to skip this one for a second. What happens if Fred arrives now? So here we go. So he misses the whole Pesuk in the Zimra. So what should he do? Okay, so he comes in as the Chazan is saying, Melech Kelchei Olamim, and the Kaddish is starting. So what should he do? Should he try to cram in the Pesuk in the Zimra a little bit or not? So this is actually, the Mishnah Berurah talks about this. The Mishnah Berurah says that Pesuk in the Zimra really should be said, so if one has, like, if one knows that one can daven fast enough to say just the Baruch Shemar Asher and Yishtabach, even here, one should try to get it in. It's important to do it beforehand, because if one doesn't say Pesuk in the Zimra during davening, one cannot say Baruch Shomar and Yishtabach afterwards. That's the preamble. You can't say the preamble afterwards. You can say all those mizmorim and all those paragraphs from Tanakh afterwards, fine, fantastic. You can't say the whole. You can't say Baruch Shomar and Yishtabach. So it really is, if one has just that moment to say it, it's fine. I would say that's not so likely in many shachris minyanim. Meaning once the people start Kriya Shema, that's it. You're on the treadmill. There's no way to get out. I think that it's an unlikely scenario in many shuls to be able to do that. But now the Mishnah Berurah does suggest that. Hang on for a second. I just want to just get through a little more right now. So here we go. The question is, one second, there's one last thing I'd like to deal with in this particular case. Okay. Now we get more interesting. So what about here? What about when Fred arrives and they're a little later, so now he's right in Kriya Shema and it's Brachos in the middle. What does he do now? Because let's think about our toss-up right now. On the toss-up right now, if he starts Kriya Shema, right now he's lost Brachos, not lost them, but he's going to have to do it later. He has lost Pesuk in the Zimra. He can't say it with the Brach afterwards. He can only say the Mizmorim afterwards at the end of Tefillah. Now the question is does he shift Shema later, say the full Kriya Shema and his Brachos, and the Amidah, thereby missing the full Tefillah B'Tzibur? He may have to catch the tail end of the Tefillah B'Tzibur, or does he now skip to the Amidah with the Tzibur? That's the question at stake. So what do you do in this case? So the halacha is the following. There's an additional connection over here which we've missed. We've talked about each section independently on its own right. Brachos, Pesuk in the Zimra, Kriya Shema, Amidah. We didn't talk about the glue between them. The Gemara in Brachos says, "Eizehu ben olam haba." The Gemara says in Daf Yud Beis, "Who's a person who's a ben olam haba? A person who's masmich geula litzvila. A person who puts close geula to tzvila. Geula is redemption to tzvila. What is that referring to?" So if you look carefully at the end of the Birkas Kriya Shema, there's two at the beginning, one at the end during Shachris. That last bracha ends with Goal Yisrael. The reason why in many communities they say it quietly is because they don't want people to have to answer Amen in between that bracha of Geula as we enter into Tzvila. Apparently there is a necessity. That bracha is the glue between Birkas Kriya Shema and Kriya Shema itself and the Tzvila. Because you notice something interesting. Kriya Shema and Tzvila actually have nothing to do with each other necessarily. Meaning Kriya Shema is an independent chiyuv, as an independent obligation, because we're supposed to be thinking about Kabbalah Sol Machu Shemaim, and it tells us B'Shach B'Chav V'Kumecha. The Amid is a separate requirement. Why do two always find themselves adjacent to one another? The answer is because there's this notion that apparently the tone set talking about redemption as the last bracha entering into the Shemona Esrei is a necessary prerequisite to be able to get into the Amidah, Kabbalistically, metaphysically, emotionally, in order to be able to appreciate and ask from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In the Shemona Esrei, we need to talk about the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed us to this place of redemption. And so important is that, say the Poskim, that in this case, what Fred would have to do is what Fred would have to start the Kriya Shema late, end the Kriya Shema late, start the Amidah late, because Masmich Geula LeTfilah, having that last bracha of the Kriya Shema next to Shmona Esrei, overrides Tfilah B'Tzibur. That's what the halakha is. However, we're not at the end of the game, because let's come back to Marav for a second. If the same thing happens in Marav, Marav is a similar format. Marav doesn't have the Pesuk in the Zimra, it doesn't have the brachos, but it does have Kriya Shema, it does have Amidah. Right? So what happens if the same situation happens? What happens if Fred comes in the middle of the Birkas Kriya Shema? Very likely situation. And one's running in. It's 8:15 and 13 seconds. Right? They're now in the middle of Birkas Kriya Shema, or in the middle of Shema at this point in time. They're finishing the Birkas Kriya Shema, wherever they are. Right? So what about what do you do in this case? So the halacha is the following. The Shulchan Aruch says the rule is not the same. Right? The rule is not the same. We're not, in this case, at night, the notion of Tfilah B'Tzibur, or davening with everybody else, overrides. I'm very careful to you not to use the word trumps, you know, just so you want to. Overrides the necessity of Gula, the Smichas Gula L'Tfilah. Why? Interestingly enough, we see already in the format of the Maariv to Brachos that there already is a break between Geula and Tvila. In Maariv, there are the two brachas before Kriya Shema, but after Kriya Shema, in addition to saying the bracha of Geula, Baruch Atah Hashem Gal Yisrael, we have another two brachas. We have Ashkiveinu, right? And then we have Baruch Hashem La'olam Amen V'amen. And the Gemara, by the way, the Gemara does address this. The Gemara says that Ashkiveinu is what's called Geula Arichta. It's a continuation of Geula. But nonetheless, we see that already it's diluted. The notion of having Geula close to Tvila isn't as essential at Maariv as it is at Shachris, which means that we shouldn't have a conversation, but Tvila B'Tzibur would override it in this particular case. So at Maariv, a person would be able to do this. Just out of interest, as a case which sometimes happens, what happens in the following situation? Just coming or playing off this. By the way, most of these halachos can be found in Simen Mem Zayin, Simen Nun Aleph and Nun Beis, Simen Kuf Yud Aleph, and Simen Reish Lamed Vav. That's where Shulchan Aruch talks about all these issues. Wants to see them really inside. So the Mishnah Berurah talks about the following scenario. What happens if you're coming to Maariv, and it happens to be it's one of these days, and you didn't daven mincha yet. Right, and now it's remember we can only daven the Maariv Amida after Shkia, right? But there is a leeway of about 13 minutes after Shkia where you can still technically b'di'evet daven mincha. So what happens in this case? So the Mishnah Berurah says just as a quotation for this the following: you come in the middle of Birkas Kriya Shema, and you realize that you can say Kriya Shema's brachas before they get to Shomer Yisrael La'ad. So you should say that and leave out the last of the Birkas Kriya Shema. Meaning that the Baruch Hashem L'Olam V'Amen V'Amen is the first thing to drop in this triage. However, this is the case we're taking the following. You come to the shul, v'shah shem aschilin baruch hu, v'hu lo yispalel mincha. So what should you do? Yispalel mincha ba'od shem korin kriya shema birkoseha, v'achar kach yispalel arvis im atzibur. So what you should do? You should do two amidas. You should do during this period the amida of mincha, then during this period the tefillah b'tzibur or the tefillah of mincha. Of Maariv. So one is therefore, in a certain sense, sacrificed the masmich gula to tefillah of the Birkos Kriya Shema, which one will have to say afterwards, and still managed to get mincha in its time frame, the b'dievet time frame, and the Maariv tefillah b'tzibur. That would be the situation in this case. What happens in the following case? So what happens if I know that there's a 9:15 minyan, and I can come back for a later Maariv, and I haven't daven mincha, and they're starting Maariv now. So what should I do? In this case, I'll wait till they start Amida. I'll daven my mincha Amida while the community is davening there, Maariv Amida, so I have tefillah b'tzibur for my mincha minyan, and then I'll come back later on for the Maariv minyan. Yeah. These cases happen all the time. That's why we're talking about this. Let's make it even worse. Yes?
Isn't tefillah... Shalat Sibur, you need Kedusha and
Modim, and you don't... Okay, so here, let's get to the next question. So Chaim's question is the following. Let's take Mincha as an example. Fred is really having a bad day. So Fred comes in the middle of the Amida, this is wherever it is, Shachris, Mincha, Maariv, wherever it is. And he's stuck. Actually, Maariv is going to be different. But he's really stuck right now in the middle of the Amida. What does he do? Should Fred, on the one hand, try to jump straight in and dive in the Tefillah, the Maariv, with the Tzibur right now, the part that he's able to, or should he now wait for the Chazaras Hashatz if he is at Shachris or Mincha? That's the question at hand. What should he do? This happens all the time. Okay, so it's especially at Mincha, because Mincha is a time where you have, you know, you go from 0 to 100. You're in, you know, without Ashrei, which is kind of the prerequisite. Then without that, you're right in the Amida. So what happens in this particular case? Should you wait for it or not? So there happens to be a debate in the Achronim whether saying Chazaras Hashatz itself, when you daven, let's say, parallel to the Chazaras Hashatz, whether that counts as Tefillah B'Tzibur. The general consensus, Rav Moshe Feinstein understands, in the Igros Moshe, is that it isn't the same as Tefillah B'Tzibur. Right? If one is daven your personal Tefillah while the Chazaras Hashatz is happening, that which is Tefillah HaTzibur, the community, one has lost out in Tefillah HaTzibur, but it's better than davening alone. So it's kind of in between. One is lost out the full amount, but nonetheless one is still achieving something. But what Chaim's point over here is the following. There's an additional awareness that we should be having over here, and that's the following. One is only allowed to start the Silent Shmona Esrei while the Silent Shmona Esrei is going on. If one is confident, then one can arrive, one can finish one Silent Shmona Esrei before the community is going to arrive at four stations. And that's Kedusha, Shema Koleinu, Moedim, and I can't remember the fourth one right offhand. One should not start the Shmona Esrei in the middle if one knows one's going to be davening Silent Shmona Esrei when they are arriving at the Kedusha and the Atah Kodosh of the Chazaras Hashatz. So that's a matter of debate. this is a hard one to a hard decision to make. So if they've just started the Shemoneh Esrei, it's probably better just to go with them. If they're in the middle towards the end, one should probably wait and daven with them, parallel to them, so that one can say the Kedusha, one can say the Brochas in parallel with the Chazan, even though it may not be Tfilah but Tzibur. This, by the way, if one is starting the same time and one always davens later than the community, that's the way it is. One's doing one's best. Right? But the point is, if one is late, then one has to see if one can finish before or not, and then one has to make a decision on that, based on that decision-making process. Okay, that's the Chazan.
You should say your whole Amidah.
Parallel up to Moedim. Up to Moedim, yes. If one is starting at the time of the Chazaras HaShatz, one should start at the Chazaras HaShatz with them and do parallel all the way, inserting the Kedusha, just making sure one's Kedusha, the one's Atah Kodesh is parallel to their Lador Vador, if one, that's one's Nusach. And then one has to go up to Moedim parallel with them. By the way, it's helpful because it's less distracting to try to have, you know, sort of two tracks happening at once. David?
I'm always under the impression that if you know, read. Mm-hmm.
I wasn't saying anything.
At some point, you can daven Shemona Esrei when the Chazan is beginning Chazar. So
yes.
I have the opportunity to catch some of Pesukah de Zimra and then Yishtabach forward, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then daven Shemona Esrei together when Chazar Sashat happens. But that's. That really is the optimal.
It really depends. So if there's a situation where. I would just like, it gets complicated now because you see there's lots of things. This we're dealing with mincha right now. But what David's pointing out is that if everyone is in the shachris situation, we go back to the previous slide, but actually we don't have it in this case. If it's a shachris now, one's in the middle, they're in the middle of Amidah. So if one is there towards the beginning of the Amidah right now, if they'd be the beginning of the Amidah.
I come in and they're up to Kriya Shema and I have the opportunity.
Yes.
To catch some Pesukah Zimra, Yishtabach up to Shmonis, and then join in.
Yes.
When they start Chazar Sashas.
Yes. So in Shachris, you're right. So in Shachris, this actually is a matter of debate. There are many poskim who would say that in this particular case, one should, in a certain sense, forfeit the Amida, Betzila Betzibur, to be able to get a little bit of Pesukah Zimra in the Brikras Kriya Shema for Masmich Gula Litzvila, getting it that one starts at the same time as the Chazar Sashas. Right? One should be aware, though, as was pointed out before, Bachaim beforehand, is that it still isn't the real McCoy. One still has lost out something of the Tula B'Tzibur in that particular case. Guys, just appreciate this. Saul, one last question, then we'll get into the conclusion. Yeah.
What if a person, me for example, actually comes on time, but the Chazan is way too fast? Are these rules apply also?
That's a great question. So here's the deal. This happens, by the way. This happens all the time. So you're davening, you're trying to do Pesukah de Zimra. By the time you start your first paragraph, they're at Aziyashir, right? You know, so like, what do you do in that case? So one would have to do the same triage because one needs to make Kriya Shema with a Tzibur. The problem with the Birkos Kriya Shema is Pesukah de Zimra and Brachos, you can come early. I mean, you can front load that. You can do a bit at home, right? Murray always does his homework beforehand, but you can't do anything about the Birkos Kriya Shema. When I was a Gabbai, I used to be the head Gabbai in the YU based Medrash. And it was a difficult thing, because what would happen is that they would have all these other minyanim, and these other minyanim would be, you know, 40, 35, 30, 29 minutes minyanim. And the main minyan, which is where the yeshiva would daven, would often be a lot emptier because there were a number of the rabbonim would daven there. And of course, that by nature, that would be a much more slower and more enjoyable pace, to depending on where you're coming from. But it would be like, really, you could really enjoy it. And I remember we're talking about, you know, compromises to make, that we could maybe make the main minyan a little bit faster so we could bring back more of a Barov Amahadros Melech. There could be really a lot of people together. And I remember we were having a discussion and we were talking to Rav Shechter and we were talking about maybe, you know, like maybe we could make it that the brachos don't have to be 13 minutes long because they did all the karbonos, just to appreciate, you know, just to get a sense of this. We could make certain, you know. So Rav Shechter says, look, I can daven it all beforehand. But I can't daven the Birkos Kriya Shema faster. Meaning, I'm starting at the same time the Birkos Kriya Shema. I can't have Birkos Kriya Shema less than 8 minutes. Right? There's no way. I mean, say, Rav Shechter was saying that. That's big when it becomes trying. Is that when the community? That's, by the way, Ava Rabba is our intimate request. Hashem, allow us, you know, to understand your Torah. Allow us to come close to you. It's That's a very beautiful bracha. It takes a lot of that's a lot of work, and it's worthwhile slowing down. That's where community, the Berakos Kriya Shema Shema is where the community really needs to slow down. Everything else can be made up in some way or another, because the Amidah, let's say you have a long Amidah, carry on going. Let's say you have a long Pesuk Zimra, do it earlier. You can't, there's no way either on either side to do the Kriya Shema. That's what becomes a problem. If the community is going too fast, one just has to do what one does and start a little bit later, and that's the best one can do. But that's often the case, unfortunately. What about the following? What happens if Fred is having a really bad day? So Fred cannot get to davening at all. Fred is in bed. Or Fred is actually on a business trip, right? In Bangalore. There's a fellow right now in the community who's in Bangalore, India. So generally speaking, there actually happens to be a Chabad house there, so it's a bad example. But let's say... What was that?
Iceland.
There's no Chabad in Iceland. There was a few people in Iceland last year who went for a trip.
What?
And let's say one's in a remote place where one is not able to be at shul. So has one lost out? Meaning to say, is there anything one should be doing? So the Shulchan Aruch says, you may not be able to access Tefillah B'Tzibur, but nonetheless, one should daven at the same time that the local community would be davening. So a person is Rachman Al Islam, not well, or a person is in a far-flung community for whatever reason, and one doesn't have access, one should work out the minyanim times in the local bigger community nearby that there is a minyan, and one should daven at the same time, because even though one doesn't have access to Tefillah B'Tzibur, at least one should be sort of hopping on that momentum, that spiritual momentum which is occurring in the local neighborhood that one is able to work with. What was that? Skype does not work on this. And now, what happens on the... Yeah, what happens if Fred arrives at the end of davening? What happens if Fred has just... today was definitely not his day. He's not lucky enough to be in the five towns where there's a minion up to who knows what time. I remember when I used to be in Katamon, at the shtibl in Katamon, they have a sign about all the minyanim. You know, like there's every 15 minutes there's another minyan, and they have the different rooms. You know, sometimes the joke goes that the guy's sitting in the middle room and he's halfway through tefillin. He's got the one tefillah on, the one tefillah's off, and he can't remember if he's just putting it on or taking it off. You know, like he doesn't know where he is. You know, in the shtibla. But nonetheless, I remember seeing on the actual sign up of the different times, it goes like all the way till from 6 a.m. to 11 a.m. And there's a little asterisk that said, Hara, note. It says, Kama mea minyanim, lomit panalim bizman. Some of them are not davening within the time frame. Nonetheless, Baruch Hashem, people are trying, and so on. But let's say one's not in an area like that. One's not in the five towns where one has access to minyan. One's missed the only minyan in town in this particular place in Nebraska. Right? So what does one do? So the Mishnah Berurah says, based on the Shulchan Aruch, that there's still a value to davening in a shul. This is just an important thing that we sometimes forget. We've been talking about timing now. But if one has an option, and one can get to a shul, even after the davening is finished, there is more access in a shul than anywhere else. Because the walls, the rafters, the beams, the tables have absorbed that tefillah for so long, have got such a resonance of that tefillah, that there is more access there than there is in Kosel Marumi, if you know what I'm saying. Right? So therefore, if one is able to make it to a shul, even though one has not made the minyan, there is still a element of availability or access that one is able to have even after davening. So we want to thank Fred very much for his participation. And I hope this has been a helpful
thing about this. Have a wonderful day.